Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, just another sticky ray day here in Florida.
Yeah, did you get your afternoon thunderstorm?
Not yet. But it's been clouding up since about noon.
Yeah, nice.
It's like, come on, I don't want to have to water the plants. Let it loose.
We have a tropical system sitting off the coast, so we're getting lots of rain right now. Not that it's heading towards
There's potentially something developing that could come right towards Florida.
Nice.
So, you know, here you go.
Wipe it out. Make it flat.
No, just sit over Mar-a-Lago and let the tornadoes and everything else do its business.
But he's not there, though. He needs to be there when that shit happens.
Well, I guess. I guess. We lost a couple of celebrities this week.
I know about one. So, okay, we'll start out with the one that I know. We lost Lonnie Anderson,
okay,
like almost immediately after we finished the podcast last week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was kind of a tough one. She, she was a big part of my childhood with WKRP in Cincinnati and,
mm-hmm,
you know, I think at some point she was every little boy's 70s and early 80s crush.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, she was one of those people that, like, even though she was known primarily for one thing, like, she never stopped working.
No.
Like, if you look at her IMDb, she was solid, like, every single year up until, like, 2023. Didn't we talk about that Ladies of the 80s Christmas thing?
Yes.
I thought
we did. Yes. The celebration of plastic surgery.
Yeah. So, yeah. She will be missed. 79.
Mm-hmm.
I think she reunited with Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always strange when somebody who you have a picture of them in your mind for like decades and it never really changes.
Yeah.
And then to hear that she was wife, mother, grandmother, it's like, grandmother?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah. Who else died?
Astronaut Jim Lovell.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I did hear about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Commander
Tom Hanks
Apollo
played
13.
Him in Apollo 13.
Yeah.
He was 97.
Yeah, that's... A lot of astronauts make it a long way. I don't know if it's the training. I don't know if it's, like, you know, the physical shape they need to be an astronaut, but most astronauts do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim Lovell does appear in Apollo 13 at the end. He plays the captain of the ship that comes and picks up Apollo 13. Shakes hands with Tom Hanks. But yeah, he was the one commander that didn't get to set foot on the moon.
That's right. But at least he has a catchphrase.
What, Houston, we have a problem?
Yes, that was him.
It was him. Yeah. That's a good long life.
Yeah, wonder what he died of.
I would expect old age, right?
Yeah. And we had one more. Well, we had somebody's career die.
Oh, whose career?
Dean Cain.
Oh, well, yeah. That dude can fuck right off, man.
Uh-huh. I loved John Leguizamo's comments.
Yeah.
He's like, what a moron. Dean Cain, your pronouns are has and been. And they were showing how physically fit he is these days.
Yeah, he's quite the pork chop there.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's just a testament to the amount of work he's not getting in Hollywood if he wants to be a fucking ICE agent.
Right. Well, he doesn't have to wear a mask because nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is kind of sad that he's of Japanese descent and he had family who was in the internment camps in World War II. And yet he's going around to, you know, I mean, I can't imagine him showing up on a raid without people like mercilessly beating the shit out of him.
Maybe they're doing it for, maybe they think that everybody knows who Dean Cain is. And, you know, it's like those when Steven Seagal was a cop and Shaq was a cop in South Florida, where it's right, just right. The factor of like, holy shit, look at this. And like it distracts the people. Maybe they think that mm-hmm. that's what Dean Cain's going to do for the mega crowd. You know, they're using him as a poster boy of like anybody can be an ICE agent.
Well, like, apparently, because look at him.
Yeah.
He's a flabby bag of shit.
Yeah.
You don't think he's doing it for the money?
I'm sure he's doing it for the sign-on bonus because he's not getting any calls from Hollywood.
Right.
You know, he wasn't named. What was the Hollywood ambassadors that Trump named, where it was Stallone and... John, what's his name? Not John Lithgow.
Voight.
John Voight. You know, he didn't wind up in that fucking thing either. And he was like a diehard Trump supporter. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that this is his way of getting into fucking Trump's good graces or whatever.
Oh, whatever. You know, it's sad. It's very sad that, you know, people who have been in the limelight don't know when to shut the fuck up.
No. No, and it shows like that he just wants to be relevant and do whatever, but like...
But he's not relevant.
No. No, and... You know, this all started when the new Superman came out and he was like, oh, it's too woke and it's too this. And it's like, dude, you played a fucking immigrant in fucking your version. Like there was an entire thing about Superman being an immigrant. Like,
right.
I don't understand why he would even reach out that way, but it's because he's not relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody in fucking Hollywood. So according to his IMDb, he has 15 upcoming projects. Nothing that you're ever going to fucking see.
Right.
But, you know, at this point, no major Hollywood production is going to touch him. He's probably not getting offers to go to conventions either. Well, not that there was any chance
they'd touch him anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've told my Dean Cain story on here before when we went to MegaCon.
Uh-huh.
And we were standing in the signing area and I had my camera in my hand. The lens cap was on, but I had it up kind of on my chest and I was just looking around and the dude walked over and he was like, what are you doing with that? And I was like, what? And he was like, Dean Cain doesn't want any pictures taken of him. And I was like, I'm not pointing anywhere near him. Like, what the fuck? He was an asshole back then.
Right.
I'm sure he was fucking insufferable as Superman. But, you know, he gets what he fucking deserves.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure his next movie, Little Angels, will be a big hit.
I mean, looking at his IMDb, he was in God's Not Dead and God We Trust. Of course he was. And God Made Man. The last big Hollywood movie or Hollywood movie that I've heard about. Yeah, I'm still going down. I don't see anything. He did 6 episodes of the Supergirl TV show, because of course he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a lot of voice work for DC.
Well, hopefully that stops.
Yeah.
Ooh, he was in Obamagate, the movie.
Of course he was. Don't Trust a Bee in Apartment 23, 2012.
That was the one where James Vanderbeek played himself.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see anything that is big enough to be called like a big Hollywood production. I mean, it looks like the average rating for one of his things is like a 5 out of 10. So, yeah, fuck that guy.
Well, that's okay. His career's over. We're not going to hear from him again unless he gets, like, gunned down during a raid.
Well, he might deserve that, though.
Then he'd become a martyr.
Oh, God. Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? He sacrificed himself he's a true patriot. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, good riddance, Dean Cain.
Well. Are you watching anything new this week?
I watched this week's episode of Star Trek.
I didn't.
Okay. Moving on.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was. It was back to more science fictiony type story, but it.
Okay.
There was an element of horror to it. Yeah, I don't want to tell you what happens because I don't want to spoil it, but They're really firing on all cylinders this year, and I really enjoy it. The other show that I'm watching right now is on Netflix. It was on a couple of years ago, and I never really got around to it. It's called Dark, and it's a German sci-fi television show. It's not really like Stranger Things, but it's got kind of like a creepy factor like Stranger Things.
Is it dubbed or is it in English?
You can watch it either way. You can watch it with subtitles or overdubbed. But there's a cave where strange things happen, and people are being sent back and forth through time through the cave and like experiments. And it's very interesting, and it's on the top. If you do some searches for like best sci-fi TV shows in the last 10 years, it's always at the top of those lists.
Oh, really?
So I thought I'd give it a try, and I'm like 4 episodes in, but it's really good. So I don't know if it's your speed.
I might check it out.
Because it's got some gross stuff in it. And I know you're not like a real gross stuff type person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's good so far. It's darker sci-fi than, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we watch. But it's not bad.
Okay.
I also watched the new Karate Kid movie, Karate Kid Legends.
So did I!
Did you? All right, awesome.
What are your thoughts?
It's very not for our generation.
It's become a formula.
Yes.
It's very formulaic in terms of who the characters are and what the things are, and you see everything coming.
Yes.
But I didn't find it horrible.
No, I don't think it's as good as Cobra Kai.
No, not at all. I mean, LaRusso doesn't show up until the last half hour.
Yeah, that I wasn't expecting.
You know, they make it sound like it's him and Jackie Chan teaming up, and it's like, no, that's not the case.
Yeah. But I really like the kid. He was in American Born Chinese. The show that was on Disney. Oh,
which one was he?
He was the main
kid. Oh, no, wait. American Born. Oh, okay. That's where it's from.
Yeah. And I like him. I think he's a good actor. I think he can hold his own, like, fighting wise or whatever. He seems to have really good chemistry with a lot of the people on screen. So like that, I was all cool mm-hmm. about. I was like, all right, he's really good. But like you said, it's just story beats. It's at this point, this person's going to get hit. And then it makes this problem. So then this problem needs to be solved by doing this. And then because it's Karate Kid, oh, look, there's a karate tournament. Like, the Karate Kid universe is amazing that, like, karate is, like, the biggest thing that people do in all these giant cities. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if I knew anybody who did karate when I was growing up. But,
yeah, me too.
You know, the valley in California is all about, you know, the big tournament. There's a Five Boroughs tournament in New York that is in a different place every fight or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I also wasn't expecting what the fuck is his name? Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Oh yeah, Joshua Jackson.
Joshua Jackson. He showed up and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a small part. Nope, he's in the whole fucking thing. And I was like, wow, okay. But I mean, it's an enjoyable movie. I thought it was good for what it was. It's not like groundbreaking like the original Karate Kid was, though.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting mixture of the two, like the Jackie Chan version and then, you know, the original. It's a little weird that, like, Jackie Chan's character supposedly showed up in 1985 to hang out with Miyagi for however long. But Daniel didn't know who the dude was.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought was really weird.
Yeah, there was a couple of those moments where it was like, wait a minute, what? You know, if he had said, oh, we knew each other before he came to the States and blah, blah, blah. You know, and we corresponded a lot. You know, I could see that. But he was like, yeah, this picture was taken right here. And he was talking mm-hmm. about you and what you meant to him. And it's like, and he never mentioned this dude. Okay.
Right, right. Well, it's like when he said he was going to see an old friend, I was like, okay, I don't remember that he actually interacted with Daniel.
Yeah.
And then he's standing in the dojo and it's like, oh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was there's a couple of weird things like that Be fair, I didn't see the Jackie Chan version of the Karate Kid because I had no interest.
Didn't either.
So I don't know if he ever mentions Miyagi in it. or whether they were at that point, they were just like, this is its own thing and don't worry about it.
Right.
And then later on, they were like, well, sure, this is how we're going to tie these two together. And I do appreciate that they gave William Zabka a cameo at the end.
Sure.
Because you can't have the Karate Kid without Johnny. You really can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. He even had the best joke in the entire fucking movie about opening a pizza place and calling it Miyagi-Do.
Miyagi-Do?
Yeah.
Yes, I thought that was very funny. I was almost waiting for Stuff Crush, his mother,
yeah,
to get together with Pacey.
Oh, yeah. That I think that would have been too far, though. Because, I mean,
I don't know.
Okay. I know Ming-Na Wen looks amazing for her age, but the dude is supposed to be like 14, 15.
Uh-huh.
She's in her 60s.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know why you hired her, but that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So she had her...
No, I mean, she could have been a love interest for Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But isn't like Jackie Chan her father in it?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's... That casting was a little... Again, I understand. If Ming-Na Wen wants to do your thing, you get Ming-Na Wen. Like,
mm-hmm.
Why not? But, yeah, that was...
Oh, Jackie Chan's a lot younger than I thought he was.
Isn't he in his
70s? He was born in 54.
Oh.
So that's 71?
71. And Ming-Na Wen was born in 63.
See? That's perfectly respectable.
So, yeah. I mean, but it was
enjoyable.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything great, but I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll watch this because I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it had all the beats. It had the asshole kid who's misunderstood, who's, you never really find out his backstory, so you don't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
And then at the end, after he's got the TKO, and then he gets up and he goes after the kid. And the kid does the death punch.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know he's not going to hit him. There's no way they're going to end this like that.
Yeah. Ralph Macchio is 63. And he's 12 years older than Pat Morita was when The Karate Kid was released.
Believe it or not, there is a Japanese bakery called Miyagi-Do.
Is there really?
Yes.
Where is that located?
I don't know. I just found their Instagram page.
Oh, okay.
It has lots of, like, smiling Asian little kids. But yeah, that's interesting. Well, so much for that franchise. We could get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, here we go. Miyagi-Do.com. appears to be nothing there.
Oh. Maybe it was set up as a thing for the movie. And they've taken it down.
Oh, no, here it is. It's in Colorado.
Oh, okay. And what do they sell?
It's a bakery.
Nice.
Cream puffs and cakes, and they're on Himalaya Court in Aurora, Colorado. If anybody's interested, or if anybody's from Colorado and you want to go, like, get a cake and send it to us, that would be cool. But yeah, I mean, it was a decent movie for what it was. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't expecting anything, so.
Yeah, I just threw it on because, like, I saw it and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I wasn't going to go to the theater to see it. But as soon as it was available,
I mean, it felt like it could have been a direct-to-streaming.
Yeah, it could have been a Netflix film, for sure.
Yeah.
They probably would have done better, too.
Well, it just keep the franchise going.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like a weird offshoot, too, because there were, five or six seasons of Cobra Kai? And they had built this whole story, and then this is just Daniel by himself in New York for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's that one shot at the end, and that's the only tie-in you get. It's like, oh, okay. Very weird. What did you watch besides Karate Kid?
We have the new season of Wednesday.
I watched the first episode of that.
Okay. I really like what they're doing this season.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole family is at Nevermore.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I think that that's probably what I thought was missing last season. Okay. That it was too much focus on Wednesday. But now that, like, Pugsley's there and he's got magic powers, by the fourth episode, the grandmother shows up.
Okay.
But I mean, I like where they've gone with it. Steve Buscemi is playing Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Buscemi. Like he always does.
So when does Lady Gaga show up?
Well, I guess in the second half, because she wasn't in the first half.
Oh. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They're releasing this in parts, right?
Yeah. So first four episodes is part one.
Okay.
I mean, they've got a strong cast, too. They've added Tandy Newton to it. Steve Buscemi. Yeah. Joanna Lumley plays the grandmother.
I was very surprised that Billy Piper was in it. When her name popped up in the credits, I was like, oh, that... And she's doing an American accent, and she does an American accent really well.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting places they can go with this. And, I liked Haley Joel Osment's part.
Oh, is the serial killer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was like, he came on screen. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I heard he was in this.
Yeah, I watched, I guess when they did a trailer where they released, like, the first 5 or 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I watched that because I kept going, like, I've seen this. Where have I seen this? Why have I seen this?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure it out. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, that's right. They did the thing where,
they showed like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I remember seeing it then and I was like, oh, okay.
Catherine Zeta-Jones looks much better than she did first season.
Yeah, they've dialed in the looks for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, it's been 3 years since the first season, but it's only, like, a summer has gone by in the show, mm-hmm. and they've got to account for the kid's age because he looks way different than he did in that first season when they drop off.
Oh yeah.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate that they, the one kid that didn't come back, cause I guess he had a different job. He was all, was he Wednesday's love interest or whatever? And
the barista?
Was it the barista? The barista is not the one that was the creature, was it?
The creature.
The creature of like the.
Oh, the creature.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who it was.
There's somebody that was in the first season that didn't come back, and they actually explain it that like his father pulled the funding and sent him to a different school instead of just like, okay, he just doesn't show up. Like, I appreciate when they do that kind of shit because, you know, why wouldn't he be there for the second season?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. I like the big bonfire in the first episode that like shaped like a, mm-hmm. like a crow or whatever, or a raven.
Oh, he didn't return because he was accused of sexual misconduct. It was written out.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Well, there you have. Well, that's a reason to be written out.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. Anthony Michael Hall is uncredited in this one.
Is he?
Yeah, you haven't seen him yet.
No, okay.
Totally did not know it was him.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to figuring out when he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. He's been working a lot recently. He was in the last season of Reacher on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's certainly a survivor.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, starts as this geeky teen and then doesn't lose it.
No, and he's not just like in like crappy B movies. He was in The Dark Knight. He's been able to keep influence enough to where like he's in some major productions.
Right.
So good for him. Do you watch anything else?
I watched some classics just because they were on.
Okay.
And I didn't want to scroll through Amazon and try to find something to watch.
Okay.
I watched both Ghostbusters.
Nice. You know, there's actually four now, right?
No, there's two.
You don't count the newer ones?
No.
No? Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
No. I did notice for the first time that the CGI in the first movie is not very good.
No, and they've rushed. Ghostbusters was one of the first summer tentpole movies that had a due date. and started shooting later than expected, so they rushed a lot of stuff through production effects wise, and you can really see it now that like it's in like HD.
Right.
It was one of those movies that was never meant to have an HD transfer.
Yeah, definitely. Like the whole scene on top of the skyscraper, it's like, oh, that's really bad.
Yeah, there's composite shots. There's a composite shot of Dana getting out of a cab, and the terror dog statue is like in the frame, and it's transparent, and you can see like cars driving through it. Like there's a whole bunch of that stuff. When the terror dog runs across the street, out of the building chasing Lewis. That's pretty bad too. Like there's times when you're like, oh, okay. How do you feel the second one held up?
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was definitely a sequel.
Yeah.
Some better effects.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall it was, you know, it's classic.
For sure. Which one do you prefer?
The first one.
The first one, even with its shoddy VFX?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's the first.
Okay. What other classics did you watch?
I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, followed by The Last Crusade.
Okay.
Which is kind of perfect.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with the messy shit of Temple of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark maybe a month ago. And there's not a whole lot to fault that movie with.
Right.
There really isn't. I don't want to say it's almost a perfect movie because I don't think any movie is perfect, but like it really is so well done and so thought out, and everything kind of connects to each other, and there's not really too many plot holes that you can poke at and stuff. Like, it's really, really well done for 1980. What was it? 1981.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel that there's worse CGI, not CGI, but visual effects in The Last Crusade than there is in the original Raiders.
You think?
Yeah, there's a bunch of the stuff with the blimp. And the dog fights after the blimp and like stuff like that. There's a bunch of stuff that doesn't hold up anymore. But I mean, it's a product of its time for sure. You know, having to use whatever that they had available. But I think if you look at them side by side, you're like, there aren't those mistakes in the original Raiders that there is later on. It's very much.
You don't think people were just more forgiving of Raiders like they are of Star Wars?
No, because I can look at Raiders. Raiders hasn't had any, you know, didn't go through the Lucas thing of like, we're going to touch up the visual effects. And thinking like, there are, maybe it's that there's not a whole lot of visual effects in it.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't really get effect heavy until the end when they're opening the Ark. But even then, when you look at those effects versus, say, Temple of Doom, which is a couple of years later, with the minecart chase, where it's very clearly little puppets. and then it cuts to a full-size cart, and then you're back to little puppets. There's a shot at the end of Temple of Doom where they're running away from the water after the minecarts, and they're out on the rocks, and the water's coming through, and there's this wide shot of Willy and Short Round on one side and Indy on the other, where it's so poorly composited that like the water is clearly going through them and like not knocking them off and stuff, where it's like, this was just a couple of years later. And you compare that to like the flying angels of death at the end of Raiders, which is like, look amazing. And I don't know if it's just the fact that ILM had so much work after, like Star Wars, where they just couldn't keep up with the quality anymore, or what, but whether it's shortened deadlines or whatever. But I truly feel like Raiders, when you look at it effects wise compared to the other two, Raiders is the better out of them three.
Okay.
I mean, and I really like the third one. I love Sean Connery as Henry Jones. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's amazing casting and stuff like that. And I'm nitpicking because I've seen them a billion times, but, you know, I'll nitpick Jaws too for certain things. And Jaws is like one of my favorite movies, right. So. There's always weird things in movies where you're like, why did, what choice is that? Why did they make that choice? Which is your favorite Indiana Jones film?
I think it's between Raiders and Last Crusade.
Okay.
Because I think the chemistry with Connery is just so good between them.
Yeah.
And I mean that scene where they're tied back to back in the castle and they trigger the fireplace and the Nazis are like so busy doing their Nazi stuff that they're not noticing them, you know, spinning into the room.
Yeah.
And when Indy finds out that both he and his father have slept with Elsa.
Yeah.
So,
when he goes,
when he thrusts his diary in front of Hitler, yeah, and he autographs it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much good stuff.
I love that line where he's like, "I'm just as human as the next man," and Indy's like, "I was the next man."
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think without a doubt, Spielberg might be my favorite director of all time, for sure. He's done so many movies that are not only a part of my childhood, but like I consider to be like my top favorites. They're always done by him. He just has a flair
for it. I mean, I hope they never reboot it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to have to be that him and Lucas are both dead before those kinds of things ever get brought up. But I mean, they've done Indy in almost every decade, so they really have to start somewhere else. And I just don't think it works with anybody else.
No, I mean, it can't.
No.
It can't, and just don't.
You don't want to see Chris
Pratt? That should be in everybody's will, where they say, under no circumstances can this be rebooted for, you know, 100 years after our death.
It's Tom Cruise as Indiana Jones?
No. That would be horrible.
I mean, Tom has made movies with Spielberg, so, like, he's had his shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they've tried, like, indie-type movies since, and it never works out, like, so.
Tomb Raider, Uncharted.
Uncharted was the one that I was thinking of, that, like, they were really trying to make that, like, oh, we'll get Tom Holland. He'll be, the young Indiana Jones, and he'll do it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was like, yeah, no, it's fine, thanks. I mean, it may be that Mark Wahlberg was in it and totally fucked it up. But, you know. Now you can get an app where you pray with them.
Did you know the sound effect for the boulder rolling after him is a Honda Civic on a gravel road?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Was that did Ben Burtt do the sound effects for Indiana Jones?
I don't know.
I would assume, well, I don't know. He was Lucas's guy, so I'm not really sure.
Let's see. What's Wikipedia say?
Ben Burtt is another one that has a gigantic fucking list.
Yes, he did do Raiders.
Okay. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me that.
And Temple. And Last Crusade.
Yeah.
And Crystal Skull. And apparently not Dial of Destiny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, he's looking at his IMDb. He gets latched on to Lucas, and then everybody just starts using him. He does sound design on E.T., Blade Runner, The Dark Crystal.
Yep.
Howard the Duck, although, you know, do what you will with that. Willow. And then somewhere along the lines, he goes into video editing. Because he was one of the two editors on the prequels. And there's like in the behind the scenes stuff, you know, he's the one that's sitting in the editing bay as Lucas is trying to take different shots and stitch them together in episode one.
Okay.
And then, like, you know, he was the final editor, but, like, he was definitely an assembly editor for a lot of the stuff. I mean, it says editor, but, like, that's not necessarily, he may have not, there was more than one editor on all of these, for sure.
Yeah.
There's always more than one editor, but. And he only did, like, he did the three Star Wars, and then he did Red Tails, and then he hasn't edited since. Maybe it was just a thing with him and Lucas where, you know, he felt like he could ask to do that. But I mean,
and you know how Harrison Ford got his scar?
Wasn't it a car accident?
When he was trying to put his seatbelt on.
Yeah, You mean it wasn't like the whip in the movie?
No.
In his trivia, it says his favorite sound is the famous arrow sound from The Adventures of Robin Hood of 1938. He's used it in almost all the Star Wars films and almost every other film he's worked on.
Huh.
I wonder what the original arrow sound was, though.
It's probably like a shoop-boing.
So he originally created the title of sound designer.
Okay.
Because his work on Star Wars didn't fit with any of the traditional sound roles. So Lucas asked him what he wanted to be called, and he said sound designer, and then like that's an actual job title now. So he's a true pioneer.
Well, that's cool.
Apparently, he joined Pixar in 2005.
I could see that.
Yeah. Although he still does all the Star Wars, like video games and stuff, which makes sense. That would be why he didn't work on the last Indiana Jones film.
Because
he's at Pixar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did it say what he's doing at Pixar?
He's doing sound design and stuff. He was a sound editor for Elemental. There's a TV show called Haley's on it, where he's a sound designer.
That's
Disney, so... I mean, he's got to be close to retiring. He was born in 1948. He's up there.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can see him being like, all right, I'm done. Lucas must have paid him well, right? Sure, he could
retire. I don't know.
Lucas
was saving all that money for his museum.
Nickel and diamond, everybody.
Yeah.
Do you watch any other movies or just those?
No, that's kind of it.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I did watch the latest South Park.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, have you seen it?
No. I've only seen like little clips and stuff of it. I know it pissed him off though.
It's very funny and very right on.
Yeah. I find it very entertaining that the people they're making fun of is trying to act like it doesn't bother them.
Right.
That it's always like, oh yeah, I'm part of the joke, ha ha ha. And it's like, no, it's really pissing you off, but you can't say that because then it looks like they won.
Right. Well, the thing I thought was weird is that Christy Gnome is complaining about how easy it was to joke about a woman's appearance. And it's like, that's what you're upset about? You're not upset about the fact that they keep showing you shooting puppies?
Well, no, because
like multiple times?
She actually is upsetting you? Guilty of that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there are very funny scenes where she's on camera during the raid, and her face falls off.
Nice.
Yeah, I wonder how much longer it'll go on.
I don't know, because
I mean I'm sure they don't care. I mean, they've got that $1 billion deal for airing the all of them.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that they are also like they're combating the stuff that like Christy Noem's putting out about it. Where, when they attack Trump, she was like, is that show still relevant? And so then they attack her and she said something about it and they were like, oh, so we are still relevant. They're not letting them get away with it. And, I know South Park has attacked Democrats as well. And that's why all the MAGA people loved South Park, because they weren't holding anything back. And they may have some blame into people thinking that Joe Biden wasn't good enough or Kamala Harris wasn't good enough. But I at least appreciate that they're not backing down.
Yeah.
So
somebody's got to.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like anybody else is, so. And I guess Jimmy Fallon has said something on his show to make people think that he's MAGA.
Oh, really?
He had a Fox.
He's just kind of a douche.
So he had a Fox News host on, I guess. And the Fox News host was talking about the word Nazi and how the Republicans are trying to make that a positive word or something.
Oh, Jesus.
And Fallon's reaction was like, that's very brave to try to do that. And everybody was like, you fucking scumbag. How dare you fucking sit there and try to act like you're all scared that they're going to cancel you when you're just like agreeing with everybody. So fuck him and his fake laugh. He's an asshole too. All right. Well, you got anything else for this week?
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email and info at God damn it, I cannot talk today. info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Miyagi-Do. Olives on, olives off.